So we are, again, Finding Financial Balance is the series title. We are looking at session number 4, What We Pursue. I think the bulletin may have Pursuing God. I've changed that and said What We Pursue. And let's start with some review. By the way, if you have a handout, the first couple slides are not going to be on there. It's going to be start with, because they are all review. But first thing we looked at was the three laws of balance. Finding financial balance. Three laws of balance are determining your, say it together, focus point, clarifying your purpose, and making constant corrections. Corrections. Is it up here? There it is. Okay. Yeah. So we talked about this thing, and remember, something I'm going to talk a little bit about corrections here. If you put all your energy and your focus and your purpose on one of these corrections, you will be out of balance. So for instance, managing debt. If you think that your finances are in 100% order, if you do not have any debt, you are out of balance. It's more than just being debt-free. There's a whole, so these corrections need, in fact, next week, we're going to end the series, we're going to go one more Sunday, and we're going to talk about radically balanced, putting this all together, and looking at it from the big picture, and how to balance this, how to live through. So next week will be the concluding session of this series. Providing we have church after all the snow we're going to get both tomorrow and Tuesday and Thursday. And so we're going to get it. I'm excited. All right. Second thing. Let's see. Now I'm all confused. Okay. Laws of balance. We talked about managing your money. Remember, the Bible doesn't focus on us giving money. The Bible focuses on us managing money, and the managing is finding balance. And we manage between making money, saving money, spending money, giving money. What is the focus point and purpose? Hold that slide. What is the focus point and purpose? The focus point of managing your money is what? That's true, but the focus point is a phrase we're using. Billy, way to go. Billy, a round of applause. We have one who remembered everything belongs to God. Everything we have comes from God. What is the purpose? That's one way we do it, one way we manage, but the purpose is honor God with everything. So everything we have belongs to God. So what we have, our purpose is to honor God with everything. Remember, we talked about God doesn't want your stuff. He doesn't want your stuff to have you. God doesn't want your stuff. He wants you. First correction we talked about was managing our debt. And the way we manage our money, it's a window into our heart. We talked about consumer debt. How debt is bondage. Freedom comes when we get out of debt. And we also talk that debt comes from a lack of self-control. And self-control is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So as God works in our life, that self-control grows, and we're able to do that more and more. Now, last week, we talked about balancing the extra. Correction number 2. Balancing the extra. Can you define? Is it up there? Yeah. Okay. You can define it then. Define extra. It is. Can you say this together? Can we say this together? Maybe it'll drive into our brains here. Extra is anything above food, shelter, and clothing. That's extra. So anything that you spend money on or you have beside your food, shelter, and clothing. We're not talking about designer clothing here. We're talking about sackcloth clothing. I mean, basic clothing here. It's extra. It's extra. Life is not about what we have. So we use our extra to be rich toward God. And what does rich toward God mean? It means investing in things that will not wear out, run out, or be taken out. taken from the Sermon on the Mount. Things that rust are destroyed. Then we talked about being rich toward God. How do we know how much to give? We just simply said, God blesses generosity. Really, last week's correction is the whole topic of giving and recognizing that in order to be balanced, giving is a part of our life. It's a part of our DNA. It's a part of what we do, having that giving attitude. And I'm not just talking about when the offering plate passes, you whip out $5 and throw it in there. I'm talking about having your entire, that's your entire viewpoint for what you own. You don't even own it, remember? For what you have, for the possession you have, it's a giving attitude. It's a generous attitude. Here it is. Here it is. All right. Let's look at this morning. We're going to look at correction number 3, which the first correction again was managing debt. Second correction is giving, having a generous heart, balancing the extra. And this week we are going to look at spending money. Spending money. Correction number 3. Someone told me, I forget who it was here, someone after church in one of these sessions just told me, he says, you know, you're really a brave person tackling a topic like this where it steps on people's toes consistently. I will tell you, you can't talk about finances without something challenging you and stepping on your toes. But finances are a reality for the Christian. It's something, or for our lives, it's something important to the Christian. It's something the Bible spends a lot of energy, a lot of time focusing on. So we want to spend this time and spending money. There's two types of spending. You have consumer spending, which is basically the money that we spend to live everyday life. And then we have investing and saving and taking some of your money and spending it. And when I say investing, when you invest money, you're actually spending your money. You're putting it somewhere. You're investing it. And so investing and saving, we will, if time permitting, we will tag that at the very end, do a brief rundown on investing and saving. But right now, we're going to be focusing on consumer spending, consumer, you know, what we buy, how do we spend the money that we have. Consumer debt. Earlier, 2 weeks ago, we talked about debt, and we said consumer debt, that does not include investment risk. Okay, we're separating that out. So neither does consumer spending include investing and saving. So as we look at this, there's a little different mindset that comes to play when we start looking at investing and saving, because saving is one of the things that are one of the cores of our balance. Making money, spending money, saving money, giving money. So saving is one of the areas of balance. So we sort of look at that a little bit differently. This correction really is a guiding principle. As we look at spending money, we're going to be looking at what are some of the principles that we use to determine wise spending or wise use of our money. And so it's really our motivation. What is our motivation for having money and how we use it? Remember, everything I have comes from God. I'm to honor God with everything. So what is my motivation when I come to buying things and to spending money, or not only just buying, but doing? How do we do that? All right. So when you evaluate, if you would evaluate the way you spend your money, how many of you would realize that there are areas where you are, times where you have misspent? I was one question I got a real quick answer on. And whether it was a raised hand or a facial expression, it was like, everybody's like, yeah. You think back, there's times you've misspent your money. It's a part of life. But the important thing with spending your money is, Are you evaluating how and what you are spending your money on? Are you consistently evaluating it? Are you looking at it and saying, do I need to make corrections to this? It's corrections are just that. Evaluating, realizing we're out of balance and changing. Saying and changing what we're doing. So this is not intended to be a beat up thing. This is a challenge for you to look at it, evaluate, and to see if a correction is needed. What causes us to misspend money? Any idea? Is it up there already? I hope not. Good. What causes us to, I'm really anxious to get this new building done because then I will have a screen back there too. So I can see what's behind me. What causes us to misspend money? Any ideas? I did? Yeah. Well said, John. That boy is sharp. No wonder he's an engineer. I like that. What was I doing? Expressing what? Want or extra or desires or discontentment. Way to go, David. Go to the head of the class. Discontentment. I was expressing discontentment. Absolutely. And what causes us to misspend is basically a discontentment, a dissatisfaction of what we currently have. Now, this is not spending, so not all spending is wrong. We're not saying spending money is wrong. What we're saying is, in order to keep us from misspending money, discontentment must be brought under control. What are the two questions we ask when we talk about spending money? Do you remember we talked about this a couple weeks ago? Need or want? Do we need it? That's the first one. Second one is what? No. Two questions. Do I need it? How fast will it go? Wrong. Do I need it or... can I get it for less? Can I get it for less? Is there a better value? In other words, now that's a cheap term. Can I get it for less? But the concept is there. Is this a good value? Is this a wise purchase? Do I really need it? Put some thought process into it. So, discontentment causes us to misspend our money. What causes us to be discontent? Huh? You guys have this in your outlines. That's right. I can't even ask these wonderful questions. I forgot about that. Candy, I knew you cheated. I just knew that. All right. So awareness. Awareness. Something else is out there. Something else is out there. In other words, I am totally content with what I have until I see something else that's out there. So, you go to, let me give you an illustration. How many of you think that Ammon and Renee are going to come back from Nicaragua discontent with all the things that they have? My guess is they're going to come back with a new awareness of how much they have. Okay? This awareness of seeing other stuff. That's why we use the phrase keeping up with the Joneses, right? Your neighbor gets something. Next thing you know, what you have is no longer that cool. You need something better. And so you go after it. You want it. You're discontent. You go. You want it. We're content with what we have until we know of another option. And our culture out there is driven by this very fact of making us aware of what is out there. It feeds our appetite. It feeds the, I see it, I want it, and I'm not content until I have it. Advertising, marketing, that's simply what we do. It's a part of my business world too. It's what we do. And making people aware of what we have. Classic example, we're using Facebook as a marketing tool. So one of the topics we talked about, and I think they're working on, if you're likes us on Facebook, you'll see it, is that they're going to be doing a video of how to dip chocolate-covered strawberries for melt chocolate and make chocolate. It's really simple to do, but they're going to be shooting a little video and putting it on Facebook. Why? To make people aware of melting chocolate and what they can do for Valentine's Day with their kids, whatever. Just an awareness. All that marketing is bringing things into people's minds to get them thinking about it. Another term that's often used is name recognition. Just keeping it in front of, car commercials. Jesse says, how fast will it go? Certain type of car, they may talk about that. But usually they talk about the smell of the car, the look of the car, the feel of the car, how nice this one drives compared to what they... It's aware that there could be something out there better than what I have. Our culture is driven that way. It causes us, and we may say, well, I'm a content person. I'm not discontent. You're right. But yet that often drives us to misspend our money. And so we got to be aware of that. We got to be aware of it. Now, I want to look at this term, great gain. Great gain. What determines great gain? And there's a Bible verse for that. 1 Timothy 6:6 says, godliness with contentment is great gain. So what is great gain? What is great gain? The culture says this. The culture says that the more stuff and the better the stuff we have, that's great gain. Right? We look around and we see the stuff. We see somebody with a lot of stuff, a lot of good stuff, and we say, they have it. Great gain. Great gain. The Bible says this way, godliness with contentment is great gain. There's an incredible shift of focus here. It's an incredible shift of focus. Culture says stuff makes us content. The more we have, the more content we are. So culture says if you have all this stuff, you will be content. And the more you have, the more content you are. How many of you know that's true? Show hoarders. Yeah. Stats, surveys, whatever you want to call it, have shown us that the more you have does not make you more content. In fact, it often goes the other way. Yes, could be more in debt. And you're really struggling if you're doing it that way. But even if you have the financial means to buy more stuff, it does not lead to contentment. History has shown that over and over and over again. Paul says this way, seeking after God leads to contentment. If great gain is about stuff, we have never had great gain. I want you to think about this a little bit. Paul writes it this way in Timothy, the next verse. The godliness with contentment is great gain. The next verse in verse 7 says, for we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. For we brought nothing into the world. We can take nothing out of it. If great gain is about stuff, then Paul never had great gain. The least we have would be defining, okay, great gain is the less we have. No, that's not what we're saying. We're not saying that if you don't get rid of all your stuff, then you'll have great gain. No, it's not the hinge. The great gain hinge is not on our stuff. Like our culture says, the hinge is, what is our heart toward God? Are we pursuing after God? Is that rising up to the top of our pursuit and of our energies? Or are we pursuing stuff? If stuff makes us content, then right now, now that may not be accurate for everyone, but for a majority of us, majority of us have more stuff now than we did 10 years ago. So if stuff makes us content, we are more content now than ever. Doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. We know that people who are most content often have the least stuff. Not always, but often. The more you have, the harder it is to be content. The Bible says, seeking after God makes us content. And so contentment, I would describe contentment this way. If I'm good with God, I'm good. If I'm good with God, I'm good. It's a satisfied life. It's nothing else matters than honoring God and being good with God. Discontentment, the awareness of what we don't have. Simple definition, discontentment, the awareness of what we don't have, leads to an imbalanced pursuit of stuff. And again, this is why I'm anxious for next Sunday, because this is one aspect of keeping in balance. You don't build your entire financial model on this one, but it's one part of it. It's one part of it. Because it is okay to spend money. It is okay to buy stuff. It is okay. I'm not saying it's wrong to do this. We're saying find balance with this. And what is your heart motivation? What drives you? I will tell you, we could talk for quite a while about what it is to seek after God versus seeking after stuff. And how do we balance that? But as soon as you start adding specifics to it, then we're all different. We're all coming from different points in life. So it's going to look different. But seek after God. Put that first. I would just challenge you, those of you who tend to be workaholics, it's a trap that we can fall into, that you work, and you leave out God because you're pursuing and you're finding your success in just working, or finding your fulfillment in that. And it's a trap. It's a trap. And let's talk about this a little bit, some of the traps, or a trap. The pursuit of wealth. The pursuit of wealth. Paul keeps going on and writing to Timothy, and he says in verse 9, people who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. People who want to get rich fall into temptation. I don't like this translation, sends a really unclear message. NIV says, want to get rich. Still up there? Yeah. NIV says, want to get rich. HCSB, CEV say, want to be rich. Actually, a better translation would be this way, want to live richly. Want to live richly. If living richly is your goal, you are setting yourself up for a trap that leads to destruction. And this is what Paul is saying here. People who want to live richly can fall into temptation and a trap that leads to many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. Does that make sense? Does that connect? And say, listen, if your goal is just to live this rich lifestyle and live and everything is pursuing about what you have and what you can do, the pleasure that you can have in this life, you are setting yourself up to make unwise decisions. You're setting yourself up to follow after these human desires that can cause an incredible amount of ruin and destruction. And so that's why when you look at this and you say, your money is given to us by God. So as you're trying to walk this tightrope and this balance and staying balanced, you're saying, listen, what I have is from God. I want to honor God with it. It's not what I have is how can I live richly with it, but it is how can I honor God with what I have? God has given us the possessions we have so that we can manage them. It's not just so we can live richly. It has to be kept in balance. The goal to live richly, it replaces our goal of godliness, or it can replace. I don't like that. I had that more too much definitive. It can replace our goal of godliness. 1 Timothy 6, verse 10. Well-known verse. It's a verse that's probably misused as much as any. It says, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." What's the root of all evil? The love of money. Money is not the root of all evil. Now hear me closely. Neither is the love of money the root of all evil. Look at the words. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Let me explain the way we're interpreting that here. If you love money, it will lead you into all kinds of wrong choices in life. So just simply loving money is not evil. That's not what we're talking about here. What he's talking about is, listen, if you have a love for money and that is your pursuit in life, it will lead you down a path where you will make all kinds of evil choices. That's a strong term. But that's what it's saying. It'll lead you down this path of where you're going to make choices that'll lead to ruin and destruction. And what happens is, we've seen it over and over again, people have a love for money. They pursue it, they go after it, they begin making wrong choices, they wander from the faith, and they end up throwing their faith away. And they're no longer following Jesus. Now, does that progression make sense to you? Does that connect? You see what Paul is saying here. Listen, it's not about just money or just loving money. Oh no, I don't want to love money. It's about if your love of money, you're pursuing after that money, it's going to lead you down the wrong path. And it's a path that can very easily lead you away from your faith and from your relationship with Jesus. How does this work? How come does that happen? It's very simple. The eagerness to living richly changes our priorities. It changes what we value. If you are chasing after money, you are going to value things that lead you to money more than things that lead you to God and to your relationship with God. So Paul gives this real clear instruction to Timothy. Remember, Timothy is a young pastor. He's writing to him not only for his own life, but what he should be teaching to his church, to his people. And he says this way. He says, "But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness." And so, flee the pursuit of wealth and pursue the things of God. What do you pursue after in life? Pursue after the things of God. This is all part of being in balance. I hope you're not hearing me say you shouldn't spend any money. No, you spend money. It's okay. Money, you can buy things. It's all part of being in balance. But what is your pursuit after? We're talking about is less aware of what you don't have, more aware of what you have in Jesus. Repeat that. Less aware of what you don't have, more aware of what you have in Jesus. We sang the song in worship, "You are more than enough, more than all I have, more than all I want." I forget the words, but you are more than enough, more than enough. Is that really true? What's your heart? I will tell you, our nature says, this goes against our human nature. This goes against our human nature. And so I don't, this is something we struggle with. This is something we fight with. And we need to be looking at, remember we're talking about a correction. So we continually evaluate and we say, how am I spending my money? What am I doing with my stuff? Am I pursuing God more than just more stuff? What's my motivating driving factor behind this, behind my decisions? If you make this one teaching your focus, you will get out of balance. You have to bring it all together. So next week, again, we want to talk about bringing this all together, a balanced financial approach to finances, and how do we balance making money, spending money, saving money, giving money, radically balanced. Let's take just a couple minutes. I want to fly through a worksheet on wise investing. Remember we talked about consumer spending? We just talked about consumer spending is what we just talked about here. And there's another part. Part of being in balance is saving money and investing money. Saving money and investing. It's all part of that. And I'm putting those two together. If you are saving money, you may be putting it in a tin can in your backyard, burying in your backyard. That's possible. That is saving money. But most of us, when we save money, we put it somewhere where hopefully it will gain a return or an investment. That's a wise thing to do. But so saving money is a part of investing. If you follow culture's model, if you follow our world's culture or our world's model for investing, you're heading down a dangerous path. Because their goals, their approach to investing is totally different. Their goal for investing would be to live richly or have more stuff. We invest or save for the purpose of honoring God. All right, what's the difference here? Wise investing. Culture says, get rich quick. Culture says, what is the quickest way that I can invest some money and get a quick return on it and get my money, get more money? And just how can I get rich quick? The Bible actually says, get rich slow. Get rich slow. In other words, take a slow, steady purpose for a return. Investment is really about planning for the future. It's looking ahead. It's not a solution to get you out. Listen to this closely. Investing is not a solution to get you out of the mess that your discontentment has got you in. You know, we want this. We want this now. And so we invest money and say, well, if I put my money here, I'll get a good return, then I can get myself out of it. It doesn't work that way. Now, culture says that. Proverbs 28:20. Says it this way, a faithful man will have many blessings, but one in a hurry to get rich will not go unpunished. In other words, if getting rich quickly is your goal, you're setting yourself up for trouble. Take a long-term perspective in your investment decisions. Business investments, stock markets, property, savings bonds. These things are long-term investments. Don't confuse them with consumer spending. There's a difference there. You take a portion of, and we'll talk about it next week, we take a portion of our money and we invest it and we save it. How about a car? Is a car a good investment? Where does it fall? Is it investment or consumer spending? I heard both. Investment or consumer spending? It's a lot of money. Cars are expensive. Surely if I'm spending that much money on a vehicle, it's an investment. Consumer spending or investment? A car is not a good investment. Yeah, if you are buying it, now there's always exceptions to every rule, but the general rule would be a car is something you need, something you drive, something you use, and so it would be consumer spending, okay? It would be what you are choosing to do with some of your extra. So it is consumer spending. An investment is really something that is intended to grow in value. How many of you know the car you bought is worth less today than it was when you bought it? Ah, that hurts. Sorry to bring that up. So it really should be under the consumer spending category. And so when we talk about consumer debt, cars fall into that category. Ouch! But everybody borrows money for a car. Just because everybody does doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. Just because our culture says do it, do it. I had a conversation with my banker this week. And at the end of the conversation, he says this, Lynn, when are you going to do more? In other words, talking from a business perspective, he says, when are you going to grow? He said, because I would love to give you some money. I just had to laugh when I heard him say that. He said it with a chuckle. Why? He knows he wants to loan me money. Why? Because it's going to cost me. He's going to make money on my money, on borrowing money. So it's, anyhow. Evaluate carefully what is an investment. Now, there is an exception to every rule. If you have a business and you need a vehicle for your business, there's sometimes a vehicle can be investments because you need to do that. So I'm not, again, everything has to be in balance. You have to weigh this stuff carefully. Use wisdom. Seek for wisdom. Ask God for wisdom. All right. First thing, culture says get rich quick. Bible says get rich slow. Culture says spend and consume first. That's what the culture says. Bible says save and invest first. I have first, meaning overspending and consuming. It falls ahead. Save and invest. Ecclesiastes 5, 13 and 14. I have seen a grievous evil under the sun. Wealth hoarded to the harm of its owner, or wealth lost through some misfortune. So that when he has a son, there is nothing left for him. In other words, he's saying, listen, in your spending money, think for the future. Save and invest. Think ahead. Plan. The next one. Culture says, time is the enemy. I want it now. The Bible says, time is a tool. Time is a tool. Start saving now for the future. Proverbs 6, 6 to 8. You know the verse well. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It is no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at the harvest. It's planning for the future, planning ahead. We could talk about buying a house. Buying a house. Is that an investment or consumer spending? Is a house consumer spending or investing? It's funny. I'm getting both answers. General rule, a house would be considered an investment. It would be considered an investment. Now, there's exceptions to every rule. But a house would be considered an investment. Normally, it's going to go up in value, plus you're not paying someone else rent. Now, there's a flip side to that. If you simply use the logic of saying, well, I'm paying someone else rent, I can make the payment, I can make a payment on a house for exactly what I'm paying for rent, I might as well buy a house so I'm not paying rent, that can get you into a trap because when you own a house, your expenses go up. There's more expenses to it. And so it's not always the wisest thing to just go out and buy a house. There's a balance. Weigh it out. Process it. Culture says, I can always buy low and sell high. The Bible says, diversify. I like this one. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 2. Give portions to seven, yes, to eight, for you do not know what disaster may come upon the land. As you invest, part of your investment strategy should be to diversify. to find different things because we don't know. And I find it so interesting. We tend to think as we read Jesus' teaching and we look at them, and if we're not looking at them with a balanced perspective, we're looking at that and saying it's wrong to own anything. All Christians should be dirt poor, just living nothing but faith. Or was it hope and a prayer? No. The Bible gives instructions on how to manage your possessions, how to manage your money. And part of one aspect, one aspect of managing and being in balance is investing and saving. How do I look ahead and plan for the future? And I will tell you, you can get out of balance in this. You can get out of balance and you pour all your energy into, you're a tight wad, you don't spend any money because you're going to invest everything, and because you want to have a good retirement plan so you can retire and live life richly. Out of balance. Out of balance. Plan, investment planning is a part of staying in balance. It's one aspect. One aspect. All right. How many of you are ready for this series to be over? You tired of hearing about money every Sunday? Oh my, I'm beginning to feel that way. Next week we are going to wrap this up. We're going to put a nutshell on it, and I hope this has been a beneficial series, a fun series. I really enjoyed going through it, and looking forward to putting it all together next week. But I hope you hear the heart of what we're talking about here. The heart of this is that money does not become the central focus of our life, but rather God does. God becomes a central focus. And worship team, you can come on up. And you know, when you begin to realize that, you know, what you have is from God, and you begin to ask with all honesty, how can I honor God with what I have? We'll begin to reevaluate how we prioritize our decisions so that we can stay in balance. You know, this week we really are asking the question, am I pursuing wealth or am I pursuing God? Am I pursuing wealth or am I pursuing God? What is our priorities? Am I out of balance in this area? You know, this is really one of the greatest struggles all of us will deal with in life, is how prioritizing God over our stuff. But it's really, it's because it's at the core of everyday life decisions. So the question is, what's in your heart? Do you really want to honor God with everything you have? Do you want to pursue after God? And if that's your heart, then ask God for strength. Ask Him for wisdom. Talk to God about financial decisions. Talk to God about your stuff and saying, God, what do I do with this? How do I manage it? I need your help here because I want to honor you in every area. Let's stand together. I want to pray. God, I just pray that you would just... thank you, first of all, God. Thank you for entrusting us with possessions, with things. Thank you for the instructions you've given in Scripture about how to manage the things you've given us. And God, I just pray right now that you would give us wisdom. You would open our eyes to areas where we may be out of balance. You would help us to know how to use what you have given us wisely. God, I pray for those this morning that may be here and are feeling, as they've been hearing these topics the last number of weeks, are just feeling overwhelmed with their finances. Maybe it's a debt has got them into a trap, or maybe it's the uncertainty of what to do, or the struggle of what to do with extra and how to invest wisely, Lord. Just pray, Lord, that you would just grant wisdom. Lord, give us a heart desire to seek after you. Father, may we be a people that pursues you above everything else. Father, I pray also that you would help us not to be a judgmental people and looking at other people and criticizing and saying, well, why are they doing that? They're not honoring God. Lord, give us a heart of love for people. Give us a heart of love for people. Father, just speaking to me right now, Father. About loving people. Loving others, our brothers, our sisters. And Lord, just speaking to me that people are so much more important than stuff. And in pursuing you, God, we will love people. And by pursuing other people and caring for other people, we're loving you. We're pursuing you. God, just work in our hearts. Give us a heart for other people.